fur coats, enough for everyone in the group, the gnawed remnants of the warm meat, and the pot of turnips. There had been some rough black bread in a cupboard and a pitcher of sour milk. Jack discovered some canteens in the shed, stenciled over with what could have once been Russian military markings and numbers.
That it?
Looks that way. Jack, put on the dried meat and fish so we can go.
Not yet.
The albino looked past Ryan and the armorer. They both turned and saw that they had company. Ryan had guessed that the lane at the back of the filthy cottage could well lead eventually to a hamlet, maybe even to a vill. The presence of food like fish and milk spoke of barter. The three stocky men on shaggy ponies had come in from that direction, the noise of the wind swallowing the sound of their arrival. They sat, fetlock deep in the powdery snow, about 50 paces away, each shrouded in furs from head to boots. The men rode bareback, and muskets were slung across their shoulders. As far as Ryan could judge, they simply seemed to be mildly surprised at the sight of the trio of strangers with the loaded sled. Certainly none showed any signs of menace. Jack's fingers twitched near the butt of his .357.
Could lead to Veil.
Could send us to buy the farm.
Ryan weighed the odds. It now seemed as if there was a Veil of some sort, not too far away. That could mean food and shelter. He didn't know much about how the Ruskies felt about Americans, but his guess was that they wouldn't welcome them with open arms. The old mansion was derelict, which made it a good place to hide. But if the word got around that there were three outlanders on the rampage, then life would be measured in hours. Ryan glanced at the sky.
Be serious snow within the hour.
Cover any tracks.
One of the Russians went for his musket.
Now!
And the horses?
Obviously trained to remain still under gunfire, the three ponies had barely moved as their masters toppled dead into the snow. Ryan moved in a few steps closer, briefly reconsidering JB's question. It wasn't a situation where they needed to conceal the killings. The wind and rising blizzard would hide their tracks. If there was a small vill nearby, they'd know where the riders would have gone and find the bodies easily enough. There was no way in a frozen land like this that a man could bury three horses.
No, leave them. By the time anyone comes out here, we'll be long gone.
In his short time with the group, Rick Ginsburg had commented on several occasions about the way everyone seemed to have an almost uncanny sense of direction.
I don't get it, guys. I need my BlackBerry to tell me which subway stop I want.
You miss a stop on your underground wags, Rick, and what happens? You have to go back. You miss a stop in the Deathlands, and one of your friends gets to sprinkle dust in your face.
All the others were able to find their way around, either by the sun or the stars, or without them. That was a vital skill as the storm descended, the wind screeching in from the Urals, one of the most rad-touched regions on the planet. It carried blinding snow across its shoulders, visibility dropping from a half mile to a dozen yards within seconds. Trees bowed like dowsers' wands, and a man's footprints disappeared almost instantly. Ryan and JB stooped to the traces on the sled, chests heaving, heads down, while Jack picked his way just ahead of them, guiding them through the instant whiteout. They stumbled past the corpse of the old woman, now a low hump, snow-buried. Every few minutes they changed places. Ryan would take the lead while Jack pulled alongside JB. Then the armorer would take a breather out front, and Ryan went back to pull with the albino boy. The noise of the wind had become almost deafening. To communicate, it was necessary to put your lips close against the other man's ear and shout at the top of your voice. The furs they wore became heavy with ice. The temperature had dropped fast, and Ryan was aware of the uncomfortable feeling of the hairs inside his nostrils becoming coated with frozen condensation. The skin across his cheeks felt taut and numbed. The first whispering warning he knew from previous experience, the threat of frostbite. All landmarks vanished. After an hour straining against the frozen ropes, it crossed Ryan's mind that there was a possibility that they weren't going to make it. He'd heard men who had nearly died in snowstorms say that it wasn't a bad way to go. You just got more and more tired, lay down, and fell asleep. And you never woke up again. It was a relief to make out the rectangular bulk of the mansion, looming before them out of the murk. The fire crackled merrily, the wood blazing and spitting sparks. Steam rose from the fur coats of Ryan, JB, and Jack. The boy stretched out and rubbed at his swollen stomach. He was delighted at the surfeit of food that they'd all enjoyed.
Belly full, warm, good times.
Good.
Christy smiled. She was lying on the floor, resting on the gray fur coat she'd picked out for herself.
You're right.
She looked around the large room, watching the shadows that danced into the corners and alcoves. Outside the windows, the storm still raged, well into the late afternoon. JB loosened the brass buckle on his belt by a single notch.
We've got enough food to keep us all going for a few days.
Or a few of us for a couple of weeks.
Ryan leaned back against the wall, picking at his teeth where shreds of the venison had lodged. The discomfort from his cavity had eased away again. Rick was dozing. While the three had been out hunting, the others had climbed down into the hidden staircase to check the damage to the gateway. Ginsburg's report had been a whole lot less than encouraging.
Yeah, it can be mended, but it's pretty bad. Christy doesn't know her own strength. If I had access to my laboratory, then I could have fixed it in half an hour. If I had stores facilities, I could simply order up the new parts and change them over. Oh, if I...
If the little dog hadn't stopped for a piss, then he would most surely have caught the little rabbit.
How long without anything, Rick?
Without anything? No tools or... No, I need some basic tools. Hammers, wrenches, stuff like that. Then, maybe then, it could be fixed in a week or so. But it's a bastard hard job. You have to realize I'm...
We'll get tools, don't worry, Rick. Just don't worry about it.
It's not just that, Ryan. My sickness. I've been through a sort of period of remission since you thawed me out. I've got a feeling that's over now, Baby Blue. Over.
Bleak tidings, indeed. But now that had been pushed to one side while the companions ate and grew warm. The wood for the fire came from the less damaged timbers of the attic floors, which had been broken up and piled high in the open hearth. Now was the time for relaxing. Doc sat beside Rick.
Oh, western wind, when wilt thou blow, that the small rain down can rain? Oh, that my love were in my arms, and I in my bed again.
That's nice, Doc. This is definitely one of the good times.
Reminds me of Thanksgiving at my grandma's. Feeling stuffed with food. All we need is some of those wafer-thin chocolate peppermints and some orange and cinnamon punch. Oh, those were...
Go on, tell us. I know, a game we used to play back at Harmonyville. You think, what's the best ever moment you can remember? Let's do it. Who go first, Doc? Rick?
Yeah, January, early 90s. My sickness hadn't begun to really kick in, and I had some furlough owed to me. Guys calling, yo, beer, all around. It was the Super Bowl. Don't remember where. New Orleans? I can't be sure. But it was the Giants. My Giants. They were playing against the Buffalo.